This morning, the title of the sermon is Joyfully Serving. And it can be three words or two. You can say joyfully serving or joyfully serving. Whatever way you're in it, do you serve with joy and great gladness? In an old comic strip that I used to love dearly, Calvin and Hobbes by Bill Watterson, Calvin tells Hobbes that people would be less self-centered if they focused more on others than on themselves. And then Calvin, of course, suggests that everyone simply focus their attention on him as an alternative. That was always Calvin. He was wanting the attention. You see, Calvin does not get it. Neither did the disciples, according to our gospel lesson today from Mark. Jesus is anticipating heading on south towards Jerusalem. He has once again talked about how he will suffer. And it's so very important to this time that Jesus and his inner circle be on the same page. The scripture today tells us that, but still the disciples don't understand and are afraid to ask. I can remember times in my own life when I did not understand some things that I didn't want to ask, for fear of sounding stupid than I already felt. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt inadequate, that you didn't want to share, you didn't want to ask, you didn't want to raise your hand and ask for anything? You see, maybe the disciples knew so much that they were afraid to know any more. Sometimes we say, you know, I don't want to know any more. I can't take it. I don't want to hear any more. Because sometimes it's overwhelming, like this week has been so overwhelming to some, and it's hard to process this, it's hard to receive it. They don't want to hear it or see it anymore. Just turn it off. You see, we're all like that a little bit. You see, maybe the disciples knew it. It's not unlike the typical response when receiving an alarming diagnosis from a doctor. And we know that this past year that we've had many people in our congregation receive an alarming diagnosis. We have seen people hear things that they don't want to hear, things that we're not ready to hear, and whenever you hear those words that you don't hear anything else. The gist may be so negative that we are so afraid to ask any questions, afraid to understand all the details, afraid to know any more. And sometimes we're all like that, and when we kind of get over it, then we can say, wow, let's start asking questions. Let's see what we can do. How do we make this better? I say that because the text today tells us the disciples have been arguing among themselves as to who was the greatest. Could it be that they had understood enough about Jesus' announcement to sense the eventual demise to that conversation? And the conflict had ensued as to who would be qualified to lead them. Who was going to be left to lead? Who was going to be the one that would be in charge when Jesus was there no longer? You know, you and I don't know. We don't know it, and still we don't. What Mark does tell us is that when Jesus confronted them, they were all too ashamed to reply. They didn't want to admit that they had been arguing. They didn't want to be the ones that had brought up the subject. They had no defense. So long as they thought Jesus wouldn't know, what did it matter? You see, when in Jesus' presence, our behaviors are likely to be more appropriate, even more faithful. You know, it is amazing how many times that I can walk into a room and the conversation will change. Some of the language that I've heard outside, and when I walk inside, all of a sudden, it changes. I have that effect on people. And the thing about it is, sometimes then some people get so comfortable around me, they don't care what they say. And that's good too, but you know, it shouldn't be that they stop everything. But here, their behaviors have changed a little bit. You see, Jesus took their appropriate behavior seriously because the text tells us that He sat down to teach. He he sat down to teach. William Barclay is a biblical theologian, and he writes that when rabbis assumed the role of master teacher, they would sit down. When Jesus sat down, it clearly communicated to his disciples to listen, that he was about to tell them something important, and it was time to listen. You know, when you draw children close, it's time to sit down and listen. When the kids come up on Sunday morning and they sit here, sometimes they're so excited, they want to tell Miss Vicki something. It's a time to sit down and listen, but they want to show her. And if you ask them a question, what's going to happen? Boy, they love to share everything about, because it's been a fun week. It's been this, it's been that. They've got something new. They've been somewhere new. So they're excited. But Jesus, today he sat down and his disciples gathered around him. He was about to tell them something that was so very important, and they needed to listen to him. What did he say? Excuse me. He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, it won't come by being first in line. It will not come by being the first one in line or the first to be served. Verse 35 tells us that we will need to place ourselves last of all and servant of all. Last of all and servant of all. It's just something that we should do. We're not, whenever we get ready to go somewhere, have you ever, when you're in school, do you remember people running to get to the front of the line so they could go first? They could get out the door to go to the bus first. They could get in line to go to lunch first. Everything was taken off. But then, of course, some teachers, you know, get real smart to that real quick. And they line you up in certain orders, or they start on this side of the room or start in the middle, and it switches it up so everybody kind of has a turn. So Jesus says, I need you to listen. If you're going to be a servant of mine, you need to place yourself last of all and servant of all. Jesus wasn't against ambition. He refocused it. Instead of the ambition to rule, he substituted ambition to serve. Instead of ambition to have things done for us, he submitted ambition to do things for others. To do things for others, to have the ambition to serve. Caregivers who are forever and always doing things for others, even to the point of neglecting themselves, need to take note. There's a difference between serving out of genuine desire to help and helping because of a need to be loved by those you help. You see, Jesus names the latter of this in Mark 12:31 as finding that balance between love and of self and love of others. You've got to love yourself and you have to love others. And just in case the disciples still hadn't gotten the message, Jesus, knowing that some of them were visual learners, he did exactly what the main part of the scripture is today. He took a child into his lap and he said, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If you do that, if you welcome a child in your name, his name, he says, you welcome me. You see, Jesus didn't give a children's message that day. The child was the message. The child was the message. The message wasn't that children are the greatest in the kingdom. Rather, all who receive a child will be especially close to Jesus. It's our attitudes. It's how we behave ourselves. It's what we do. I'm sorry, I've got a tickle this morning, and I hope it don't get no worse or I won't be able to talk. A congregation that I once was a part of had a program about 4 times a year where they hosted homeless families that were in the process of finding jobs and housing and being relocated. It was called Interfaith Hospitality Network. An Interfaith Hospitality Network was all denominations, all walks of faith, who were in this network. We housed these families in our church, fed them all 3 meals each day, and cared for their needs, helped them with applications for employment, took care of their children. When the families came in each evening for supper, there was a group of people ready to serve them a wonderful meal. There were many children, and it was always interesting just how much these children needed attention and love. I watched folks hug and love on kids who were starving for attention. Years ago, when we were doing this project at that church, lots of times I stayed, every time it happened, I stayed one night at the church with this group of people. And of course, they, from all walks of life, all colors, all groups, every one in the rainbow, it was a good group of people. People who would come there off a van with their families. And they would be babies, and there would be children of all ages. There'd be teenagers. There'd be all kinds of stuff. And we'd set up our Sunday school rooms, and there was, each family had a room. And there was cots in that room, and there was linens and blankets and pillows. Everything was provided for them. And then they had a supper each night, and usually one of the Sunday school classes took a night to do supper. We had the material there that we did breakfast kind of on our own. There was always ladies that came in first thing in the morning. And then each night after supper, they would pack their lunch for the following day because they would leave during the morning and go back to another place that took care of their kids all day, and they would learn job skills. They would learn how to dress. They would learn how to do applications. They would learn how to talk in an interview. There was just all kinds of things they were learning how to do, and this place was helping. But every time on the time of the week when it was supper time, I always enjoyed that time with these families because we would all eat together. We would all come together and have a prayer. And always, I had some of my youth there working. Some of the families that were the Sunday school group, we all sat together and we shared that meal. And 9 times out of 10, my mama would always come when it was my time for my Sunday school class, and she'd sit and be with these kids. And it never failed in all those years that a child did not end up in her lap. And she would help that child eat. She would talk to that child, help them do whatever. And they just wanted to sit somewhere and lean on somebody that just loved them, that just would hold them, that would just talk to them, because sometimes there were so many in these families that attention was not there. Their families were so in trouble that there was not somebody there that was always holding them and loving them and talking to them. And after supper, and to clean everything up, they could have some quiet time, and we took care of the kids out in a place which they had little movies and books, and we would just sit around, and the youth would sit around, and people would sit around and hold them and talk to them and just listen to them, because sometimes they just needed somebody to listen to them because no one had. And just to be there and to love them. You see, rocking babies and holding them, letting them know they are loved. Allowing your arms to be an extension of God's arms. Letting Jesus hold these children through you and me. When I added my arms to that circle, I felt especially close to Jesus. And it filled me with joy. Children of God model for us all that when we serve. They do that. The children of God model that. So you all model that every time you serve. When you come together to give. When you come together to understand, when you come together to serve others, we're all doing that. However reluctantly, in the name of Jesus, Jesus will be discovered close by. You see, in the midst of that, some of these children had never heard about Jesus. Some of these children had never had that. Some of them got Bibles, majority of them did. That was one thing that the churches did. Tried to give them things that they could take with them, that would be theirs, just them. You don't know how important that is until you see someone who doesn't have that, who doesn't know. There will then be more than enough joy to serve the Lord around everywhere. You see, when you and I add our arms to the circle, we become the extension of Jesus' arms. This week, I want you to be Jesus' arms. I want you to be His hands and His feet. But I want you to reach out and do something for someone a little differently. I've seen things happen this past week, and you all have if you've watched any news. If you've seen anything on your cell phone, on the news, on Facebook, anywhere, you have seen lots of devastation. But you've also seen in the midst of that, linemen standing around in circles and people praying with them and for them. You've seen people, fire department folks, rescue workers, picking people up, getting them out of places. You've seen them all kneeling down and praying. Saw in Raleigh this past week when in the area, some of the firemen from different places where in Wilmington is where it happened at, but there was folks from Raleigh that were on the scene where the young mother lost her life and her baby's lost his life when a tree fell on their house. You saw people that were overwhelmed, and they saw so much death and destruction, and they're overwhelmed, and they're praying. We've seen people going out and feeding and doing and being the church. We've had an opportunity to watch our brothers and sisters in Christ that are meeting for the first time together, trying to I know we have people in our congregation that lost some of their vacation places at the beach, or they were hurt, or they were displaced for a little while. But they didn't lose everything they had. They still have somewhere to lay their head. But when you look out and you see folks who don't have anything left, we have to learn to try to be their hope. We need to be an extension of God's arms, of His feet and His hands. Think about what you can do this week. How you can serve, how you can give. Some of you can't physically do that anymore, but pray. That's one thing you can do, is you can give what little bit you can, and you can pray. You can pray that God puts people, good people in places, and I've seen it so much in the midst of people coming.